Here we've been taking a look at the facets of trust. This psalm lays it out for us. And in Psalm 37, a psalm of David, the scripture says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." And so with this of trusting in the Lord, we see a promise that is here associated with that. And as the children of God, we certainly need to know the promises of our Lord. It's by those promises, the scripture tells us, Brother Peter writes, that we can be partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in this time that we live in this strait or this condition where the old man is here coupled to the new. Trust in the Lord. And so then as we go on, we have the associated promise there that we've touched on and looked at in the past. Here we see the facets of trusting, because without trusting in the Lord, verse number 4, there is no way to delight oneself in the Lord. We must trust in Him. And that word delight, delight thyself, that's the Hebrew word as it's put forward in English, delight thyself. We saw how that is to be soft or pliable or to sport oneself. You know, to be at great ease and rejoice. Again, the comparison that I, or the connection, the thought that I gave you, we can be a fan or a fanatic about different things in our lives. And when a sports team or some hobby that we have, or some expectation of a vacation, we get all excited and we get thrilled to look at that or to see the performance or whatever. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord too, because He's been great unto us. And oh, what a blessing it will be. And we need to do things in decency and in order in the churches as the Lord has commanded us. But I think that we've maybe taken and we've been quelled into just a non-rejoicing kind of thing. And we don't need to feign stuff. We don't need to fake anything. Our emotion is not it. But what the Lord has done for us should thrill us. And we need, trusting in the Lord, we should delight ourselves in Him. He has been so, so good to us. Then we come to verse number 5. And with delight, there is also a promise, He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And so we need to delight in the Lord. Brother David, Brother Moses are examples in the scripture. And the Lord, I believe, has and will give unto them those things that they desired. And so what do you desire of the Lord? We need to delight ourselves in that. It's the Lord that's made the promise. We've not polled Him for that. We've not come to Him asking Him for that blessing. But He has made the promise associated with this that we should be entrusting in Him. Verse number 5 is our consideration this morning. Commit thy way unto the Lord. We've all got a path. We've all got a way that we're walking. And I tell you what, years and years ago, I was reminded about a study that I had undertaken. And I tell you what, it was what the Bible says about the way or a path or that which we step. It's deep. It's a great study. In my notes, would you believe that I used to use and print notes at a 10 font? I can't even see that now. That's real little type. What I do now, when I pulled up those, this was from 02, I would pull that up, to immediately take it to a 14. Okay. And so it turns in, 5 pages turns into 7. All right. But it's a deep subject. It's a great subject and a good subject to study. We've all got a way. We've all got a path. We've got all this life, this way that we are going. And the scripture tells us, in trusting in the Lord, we need to commit our way unto Him. And then we're brought back. Trust also in the Lord. Trust also in Him. You and I, we go somewhere. If you've never been that way before, you want to lay it out. Just ask Nathan. When he gets a load and he gets the town where he is delivered that at and the company that he's to deliver that at, he wants to know where he's going because he doesn't want to make any missed moves. Because for some reason, Sister Patty deals with this kind of on the other side of it. For some reason, bosses and route managers and all that, they get cranky when the driver goes the wrong way. I don't know what the detail of that is, but you need to know the way that you're going. Well, we need to know that in life. We need to know the way. And what way are we going? Well, there's really two choices. There's only two choices in that. We'll take a look at that. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Oh, if you give up the direction of your own way, it's going to be spooky. There's going to be some fear about it. When you and I, when we turn loose of figuring out our own way, there's going to be some trepidation about that. There's going to be some reserve about that. But we're reminded, trust also in Him. Amen. See, that is faith. It's to rest in the Lord that He will do us well in the way. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And what's it say? And He shall bring it to pass. It won't be that there'll be no way, even though we don't know what it is. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we like to know where we're going before we get there. And if we say, well, I'm going to commit my way unto the Lord and believe that, trust that. Well, what way is that going to be? Well, don't necessarily know for tomorrow or next week. In some things we know, the Bible speaks to us directly about it. But then in particular, we just may not know. It may not be clear. And we're reminded, trust also in Him in that. What's it say? You trust in Him, you and I trust in Him by committing our way into the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. What's the it? Our way. He'll bring it to pass. And it'll be good. It might be scary, but that doesn't mean it's bad. It might be different than what we would choose, but that doesn't mean that it's not the way that we should go for the way of blessing. And then the promise that is here, not only will He bring it to pass, and He, verse 6, shall bring forth thy righteousness. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. What is it about the noonday? Well, it's when the sun's the highest, isn't it? When the sun's the brightest, when the shadows are the least. The Lord will do it. He will accomplish it. Commit thy way unto the Lord. When we take a look at this word commit, I was surprised. I did not expect this. I just did not expect it. But this word commit, for the most part, in its occurrences in the Old Testament, speaks about to roll. To roll. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit. To roll. Also, is a word, synonyms that are used there, to remove or run down, seek occasion, or wallow. Wallow. Wallow thy way unto the Lord. Right? We just submit to Him. Submit to Him in it. There's a passage here that I want us to take a look. As I told you, the greatest use in the Old Testament for this word, and in 18 times that it's translated this way, is to roll. Genesis 29, verses 1 through 3. Take a look at this. This will help us, I pray, to give us understanding about this word commit. We've got a way. We're told to commit it unto the Lord. And look at the use of this word commit in Psalm 37 and how it is used here. You're familiar with this, I trust. Genesis 29, verses 1 through 3. Then Jacob went on his journey. He's left home because all those things that he did and transpired there, and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, by this well. For out of that well they water the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. So to protect the well, they had this great stone that they rolled over on top of it to protect it keep any animal from getting down in there and dying and poisoning the well, or to make it harder for anybody that would work some treachery regarding the well. It also kept folks out of it that didn't have the strength to be able to roll the rock off of it from even using it. A deterrent for the poisoning or the using of the well. A great stone was upon the well's mouth. Verse number 3, and thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again on the well's mouth in his place. Rolled. Commit. Take our way in trusting in the Lord and roll our way over on him. Roll thy way up, unto the Lord. To roll it over on him. Not to try to figure it out ourselves, but to give it to him. Those that trust in the Lord roll their way over on him. Our lives are not our own, are they? We're bought with a price. And we need to know that as his children, trusting in him. We want to take a look here in the scriptures quickly about the folly of finding and going our own way. The scripture speaks much about it. I mean, there's verse after verse after verse. I could keep us here probably for a couple hours doing that. We're not going to do it. I'm already facing a situation. If you smelled the turkey, of you bailing out on me in about another 10 or 15 minutes, okay? And so we got to work fast. But the scripture speaks much about this of our way, and that we want to take a look at the folly of finding and going our own way. And it's right here before us, and it's familiar passages. Isaiah 53, verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. All means all. That's you and me and everybody else. That's the natural tendency and the working and way of man. To go astray, like a sheep goes astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. It's just natural for us to go and figure out our own way. That's just what we do. We've been made that way. We've been made by the Lord, created by the Lord to have dominion over the earth and to pursue and have dominion and to invent and to dominate. And so it's just in us to go and make our own way. And so the scripture just reiterates that and tells us that plainly. We've turned everyone to his own way, our own way. And listen to this. And the Lord hath laid on him, upon Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Brother Isaiah speaking as a saved person. And in that context, as saved people, that is the case with us. Our iniquity has been laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for it. It's by that we've been saved, we've been rescued. And I want you to consider, we've gone our own way. And what's it resulted in? Our iniquity. And going our own way, it is nothing but an iniquitous way. That's the reason we need a Savior. And praise the Lord that we do. A wonderful Savior in our Lord Jesus Christ. Double emphasis in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 14, verse 12, and Proverbs 16, verse 25. I know that you're familiar with these passages. I trust that you are. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, this looks good. Don't you think this looks good? Yeah, let's go. Plain, obvious, that's the way that we should go. The Lord says down there at the end of it is death. The world will agree. The government will agree. Satan will agree. Because Satan wants to see nothing but the death of mankind. He hates mankind being made in the image and likeness of God. There's a way that seems right, and the end of it is death. Double emphasis in the book of Proverbs to that end. Our own way, the folly of finding and going our own way. Our Lord Jesus spoke about this and gives us this picture in Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Luke 6, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse number 39. He reveals a principle here unto us. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? He's talking about the leadership in Israel. Can the blind lead the blind? The Lord's not making fun of the blind. He's just dealing with the situation of those that cannot physically see. Can a blind person, without just being blind, becoming blind, and we know that there are helps and there are aids and there is training and all that, but before all that, can a blind person lead somebody else? They can't take care of themselves. And that's the way that we are naturally. Spiritual blindness, the worst kind of blindness that there is. And we think, and I know that you have, I do, to think about losing your sight, as our cousin there in Arkansas is losing her sight. That's a terrible, terrible thought and fear. We depend upon our sight so much. But, you know, there's something worse than that. To be spiritually blind is the worst thing whatsoever. And somebody that's blind, can they lead anybody? They can't even lead themselves. And the Lord said it. He said, can the blind lead the blind? In a way, shall they not both fall into the ditch? Yeah, the blind could not lead themselves, much less another. The folly of finding and going our own way. Then in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount in verses 12 through 14, our Lord Jesus speaks these words that makes this about our way very, very clear. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, Matthew 7, 12, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. The Lord says, there's a strait gate, and that's the gate that you need. But there's a broad gate. It's very, very wide. Its access is natural and easy. And through that broad gate, there's a very, very broad way. And you know what you can do on that broad way? Anything you want to. Help yourself. No, I don't mean that. Don't help yourself. I say, on the broad way, all things are accepted. All things are received. But you know what the broad gate and the broad way again leads to? Because the broad gate and the broad way is that way that seems right unto man. And the broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, 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 many there be which go in thereat. That's our way. And it's a way of destruction. The way that that we saw about over in Proverbs, where the scripture said there's a way that seems right. Both of them lead to death and destruction. And you know what? You're going to find a lot of people on that way. It's going to be populated. It's going to be in vogue. It's going to make sense. There are those that are on the broad way that say, come on, go with us. Let's go. This is the way we need to go. And down there at the end, down there at the end of life, it's nothing but destruction. And even in the way, in this life, on this earth, during this time, there's many, many destructive things just to living. But the Lord says, enter in at the straight gate. I want to tell you about the broad way and the destructive way that it is. But you need to enter in at the straight gate. Verse 14, because straight, what that means is narrow. It's particular. You can just walk through it when you go through it. It's not broad. It just fits. That's why it's speaking about it being straight. There's no choice in this gate. There's no variance in the narrow way that this gate leads into, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. If you're here and you're not saved, we pray that you will find it. We desire and want you to find it. We are so thankful to our Lord that He has shown it to us. We've not found it of our own accord, but our Lord has shown it and revealed it unto us. We pray that He will do so for you, that you might see that your way, the natural way, the way of the world, the way of Satan, is that destructive way. But this straight gate and this narrow way, it leads to life. And we pray that if you're here and you're not saved, that the Lord would show it unto you. See, the narrow way is Jesus Christ. It is Him. It is our Lord. As I've mentioned and referred to in these messages, listen to what it says in Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you. And think about this of a yoke. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What is it that happens with a yoke? It's not common in our day, but we know historically what it's for. The yoke is put upon the beast that does not know how to work or how to go in and of itself. But the yoke is put upon the beast that it might be led towards something profitable. It says in Proverbs that strength or wealth comes by the strength of the ox. You got to have some horsepower to be able to gain in this life. Well, it's got to be directed, because the ox just won't do it by itself. And so this picture that the Lord gives us of the yoke, we don't know our own way. We don't know the right way. But you know what? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Taking the yoke of the Lord Jesus, He will lead us into that narrow way. Our way will be committed unto Him. And notice what He says here. He says it this way. It's a word from the lips of our Lord. Take my yoke upon you. Receive it. Receive Him. So that yoke of our Lord is that by which our Lord Jesus, His easy yoke, guides His children through this life into eternity. We need to commit our way into Him. He knows the way, and trusting Him and His leadership with my way and your way is the absolute best that there is. Because see, any choice that we make is going to land right there on the Broadway, isn't it? But our Lord Jesus, He knows nothing but to lead and to direct and guide in the way that is Him. We need to roll over, commit our way unto the Lord. Trust in Him. But see, therein, I was thinking about this years ago as a pastor that I know and was my pastor for some time. He talked to this about folks that they knew they were sinners, they knew they needed to be saved. And they were wrangling, they were grieved by that. They knew the necessity that they needed to be saved, and so my pastor would speak to them, read the scripture unto them, what the Lord, the examples that the Lord gives, and he said unto one that was so in such grief about knowing that they needed to be saved. They needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And listening to them and dealing with them, he said, you know what it is with you? It's like a child being on a tree limb. And the father reaches up and says, jump and I'll catch you. And he says, what you want to do is you want to feel caught before you believe. The Lord says, commit thy way and trust in him. He will bring it to pass. We want to feel caught. But this of our Lord is by faith in him, that what he says, what he's promised, he will do. And may we do so. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus, and you can trust in him. He knows the way, and trusting him and his leadership in regards to my way and your way is the absolute best that there is. Because again, all other choices that we would make, all other directions that we would go, would land right there on the broad way. See, our Lord Jesus tells us in John 14:6, I am the way. Makes it very clear. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. How would you go to the Father? Well, there's a way. And that way is Christ. He said, you don't come to the Father but by me. As we said many times, that is a future that is eternal. How is it in the book of Acts? Do you remember this in Acts 19:9? Acts 19:23, and as Paul stood before Felix and others there in Acts chapter 24, what was it that was referred to in these verses? There were those that believed not and spake evil of that way. That they saw what was affecting these people, the saints, those that have been saved, and they spoke evil about it because they did not want it. They despised it. There was a stir that was created there about that way, the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw it in the people. They saw their commitment of that, the way their own lives and their own faith and what they held to and believed in and trusted in. It was manifested unto those people, where in this case in Acts 19, it was despised. But it was witnessed about by their action, by their thinking, by their speech, all of their conversation. All these, and there before Felix, as Paul stood before him, it says there, when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them. He said, well, when this other fella comes, we'll deal with this. He knew about what Paul claimed. He'd seen it. He'd heard about it. And here this man standing before him was claiming it, that he served Jesus and followed Jesus. And this, that all the people of that, the beginning of that New Testament time, they followed after the way of Christ, that way. All these were following, not their own way, but rather the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. They had committed their way into him, the Lord Jesus, and his way, and it was shown and known by those around them, as it's referred to, that way. May we roll over our way upon the Lord. May we not seek our own and remnants of the broad way, but commit our way unto the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. He'll lay out before us a good and wonderful, blessed way that will glorify him and that will be that of fruit and glorification and the honor and praise of our Lord. Those that trust in the Lord commit their way unto him, a facet of trusting. He is the way that we must go to glorify him. Our own way is no good. And we've been saved from that broad way, our own wretched way. But his way is the eternal way of life. Commit thy way unto the Lord, it says there in Psalm 37:5. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And what's the promise? And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. And he shall bring forth thy judgment as the noonday. What is it that he says? He'll bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass if we commit, roll over our way unto the Lord, rest in him, trust in him regarding it, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. How can that be? Well, remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, the Father, hath made him, the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. His righteousness imputed, given unto us, his righteousness can do nothing but shine. Commit thy way. He'll cause our righteousness to shine because the righteousness that we have is that of Christ Jesus. Brother Daniel was made a promise in Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3. And many of them shall sleep in the dust of the earth. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. A telling, a prophesying of the resurrection. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Talking about the repentant and believing or the unrepentant and unbelieving. Verse 3, And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The Lord said it. The scripture says it. He'll bring forth, commit our way into him. He shall bring forth our righteousness to shine as the light. They shall shine. They that be wise in the Lord shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars, they'll shine as the stars forever and ever. Our Lord is interested in the salvation of sinners. And he pursues and works such. Do we? Oh, granted, we can't save them, but we are the means of the message. We are the people of his church to do the great work that he's given us to do, to herald forth the glad tidings of our Lord Jesus. And what's the other promise there in Psalm 37:5? And he shall bring forth thy judgment as the noonday. In John chapter 5, verses 26 through 29, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, verse 29, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Thy judgment as the noonday. You know, the judgment for the damned is going to be terrible, and it's going to be dark, and it's going to be in final judgment in the lake of fire forever. A dark, dark, terrible thing. The righteousness and condemnation of God will be meted out upon the unrepentant and the unbelieving, the wicked. And it will be a good thing to have accomplished and over. But think about the children of God. The children of God, our shame has been removed. Oh, granted, as his children at the judgment seat of Christ, we will have sorrow for our disobedience, but I pray that we will have blessing, that there will be some blessing for our obedience given to us by God, blessed to us by the Lord, faithfulness that he has convicted us and blessed us with to his glory. And it will be a shining. It will be nothing to be ashamed of. It'll be in the brightness. As it says there in John 3, those that want to do good come near to the light, that their works may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God's working in us. Our Lord's working in us. And so in this, these promises will be brought to pass. May the Lord help us, and may we certainly commit our way unto Him. Roll it over on Him. If you're here and you're not saved, I'll tell you what, don't go your own way. Don't follow after the way of the world and the way of Satan. It's a dead end. It's a nothing but destruction. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 21:16 about seeking our own way. This verse really stood out to me in this message, this study I'd pointed out to you earlier. Proverbs 21:16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Flee into Christ.